For those of you who don't know me, I'm Julie and I'm the Children's and Families Pastor here at CB, and it's a real blessing to be here today to share this message with you. Now, I know last time I spoke, some people couldn't hear me, so I've got a big asterisk in my notes here to say, can you hear me? So if at the back or anywhere you can't, wave, hollow, stamp, whatever, because I know there's nothing more frustrating than when you can't hear what the person's saying. So please, somehow, grab my attention and I will aim at projecting my voice a lot better. If you have your Bibles here with you today, we're going to read from the book of Daniel, from chapter 6, from verse 7 through to 28, which is true to the end. So if you would like to, and if you're able, if you would like to stand as I read, that would be fantastic. We are all in agreement, we administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone divine or human except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. And now, your majesty, issue and sign this law so it cannot be changed, an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. So King Darius signed the law. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room, with its windows open towards Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. Then the officials went together to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking for God's help. So they went straight to the king and reminded him about his law. Did you not sign a law that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions? Yes, replied the king. That decision stands. It is an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. Then they told the king. That man, Daniel, one of the captors from Judah, is ignoring you and your law. He still prays to his God three times a day. Hearing this, the king was deeply troubled, and he tried to think of a way to save Daniel. He spent the rest of the day looking for a way to get Daniel out of his predicament. In the evening, the men went together to the king and said, Your Majesty, you know that according to the law of the Mede and the Persians, no law that the king signs can be changed. So at last the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to him, May your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed the stone with his own royal seal and the seals of his nobles, so that no one could rescue Daniel. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night fasting. He refused his usual entertainment and couldn't sleep at all that night. Very early the next morning, the king got up and hurried out to the lion's den. When he got there, he called out in anguish, Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, whom you serve so faithfully, able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, Long live the king. My God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth, so that they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trusted in his God. Then the king gave orders to arrest the men who had maliciously accused Daniel. He had them thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. The lions leaped on them and tore them apart before they even hit the floor of the den. Then King Darius sent this message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world. Peace and prosperity to you. I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his rule will never end. He rescues and saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Please have a seat. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that is alive and active and so powerful. This morning, may anything that is not directed from you be washed away from us, and only the messages that you want remain. Each of us come here today with a vast array of experiences, personalities, and feelings. For some, we come with joy and happiness and are aware of your presence and love. For others, life is throwing challenging curveballs and there's a yearning to feel your love and presence. May the words from Zephaniah 3:17 bring comfort. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Father, we come together to worship you, worthy of all praise, glory, and honor. Thank you for the hope that we have in you and that you journey with us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So the story of Daniel in the lion's den is just one of the passages in the whole book of Daniel, which actually isn't very long, that portrays God's absolute sovereignty, his authority, his power. We hear very clearly that he's with us and he's going to be forever. It's not just in this moment, it's for all times. And that as believers, we are going to at times experience suffering. God's sovereignty covers all our circumstances, and his involvement is even in those tiny, tiny, small details of our lives. And sometimes we succeed, and sometimes we don't. And we find ourselves doubting his involvement, and we question why, especially when we are suffering, or those we love are, or we hear of our Christian brothers and sisters around the world who are suffering horrendously, even dying. But somehow, we must remember, we've got to hold on to that truth, that God's purposes are always fulfilled and his kingdom is eternal. He gives us hope and a reason to persevere in faith despite our current sufferings. Daniel reminds us that faithfulness doesn't guarantee a peaceful and prosperous life, and really that we shouldn't be surprised at times of suffering, because there's a lot of opposition to God's cause, and they sort of come flying at us like darts from all sorts of different directions, from institutions and other religions, political leaders, to our greed, our gossiping, our overeating, our addictions. I mean, that's just a few of them. And then there's all those curveballs that we get thrown at us, like loss of jobs, financial worries, sickness, disease, loved ones dying, disability. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Through Daniel, we see, though, that suffering is not meaningless and death is not the end, because we know that resurrection and judgment will follow. We will be vindicated either in this life or the next. As I was reading the passage, I found myself being really drawn to those words of the king when he says, "For he is the living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves." Words that the king wrote as part of his decree to tell everybody about, you know, what had happened following Daniel's experience. So that one act of Daniel, which is huge, it's not just the king he affects, but the king then goes and tells everyone. So we've got thousands of people that he's told. Because of the trustworthiness and the faithfulness of Daniel, because of God's sovereignty, King Darius sees that and he shares it. We see God's authority, his power, time and time again through Daniel. And at the time, it would have been really, really, really unusual and gone completely against all the beliefs that the Babylonians, who had conquered Israel, would have thought. Because if Israel's God was an almighty, big, powerful God, and that's what they believed gods were, but Israel had been defeated So how on earth could their God be powerful, be almighty? So, and not only was Israel defeated, but people like Daniel, the wisest of the men, were taken, captured, immersed in a totally foreign culture. Your name was stripped. And then they were taught about this Babylonian culture with all their gods. For us here in New Zealand, and well, certainly for me, I can't even contemplate what that might have been like to be just uprooted from my home and immersed and my name taken away. It's just something I find very hard to do. Yet Daniel did do it, and his faith never wavered once. And if I'm really honest, I think I would be having a lot of questions if that was me. He continued to pray openly. He didn't hide it. He didn't deny it. He offered no form of excuse. He stayed steadfast in his faith and trust in God, even when he was facing a petrifying death of being thrown into the lions. Maybe it had helped him because he'd seen his three friends be thrown into that fiery furnace and been saved. But I think not. I think Daniel, he was prepared to sacrifice his life here, because he knew and he believed his life here was not all there was. There was a kingdom of God to come. He knew that he had an everlasting relationship with God. As I said earlier, for some of our brothers and sisters in Christ, persecution leads to unimaginable suffering and even death. And I don't know if you've had a chance to go to Open Doors website, but if you haven't, do go. It's an incredible website which shares a lot about the many millions of Christians who are persecuted in our world. And I wanted to just share some of the stories from their blog. They've got a blog. And I found there were two quite common threads that kept coming of the ones I read about God's sovereignty, his power, his authority, and his presence, how they felt his presence. So one is from Henry, and he is a carpenter in the Philippines. And he went to his door. Someone knocked at the door, opened it, and was greeted by men who were members of an extremist group pledging their allegiance to the Islamic State. And he writes this: "They blindfolded me and pushed me into the van. They had the van maneuver in circles, zigzagging, going round and round, and it took almost an hour. In the back of my head, I knew they were trying to confuse me. But by the time the van stopped, they pushed me off the vehicle, put me in a room, locked by a creaky metal door that rolls up. When they took the blindfold off, I glanced at my surroundings, and already there were so many people there, hostages like me. I was taken hostage for 8 days, said Henry. There were 300 armed men in that building. Every second that the clock ticked, we prayed to God. All of us prayed. We prayed for our captors. We prayed for our relatives, for our siblings. We encouraged one another. Henry was confronted with absolute unspeakable violence every single day. And there were many things that Henry wasn't sure of when he was taken captive. But there was one thing that he was. And he says this: the Lord is powerful over all. The Lord did not abandon me." And I still feel quite emotional when I read that. From a Christian in North Korea, which I think is the number one place where Christians are horrendously persecuted. One believer says, he was arrested when the police found a Bible in his home. He was badly beaten and imprisoned. A Christian friend of his said, "I've known this man for a long time. When he came to faith, he made a decision that one day he would die for Christ. Every Christian in North Korea has made that choice. My friend knew that one day he would get caught, and on that day he had to be loyal to Jesus. I am convinced he can take the suffering because he constantly reminds himself of the joy that is set before him." And lastly, from some Afghan Christians: "We are not afraid, but strong and hopeful. We know he will come again. That is why there is so much pain and suffering. That is why there is persecution. He is coming back, and those who do not know him need him in their lives. For now, we, his followers, need to live with thankful, prayerful hearts. We celebrate knowing that at any time a suicide bomber can come and disrupt our service, our worship, our praying. Then I will think, will it really be disrupted? Or will I be sent into the fullness of worship? And that's just incredible to think that someone would think like that in a time, an experience like that. That's amazing. I haven't experienced a life-threatening event such as the above. However, a number of times I have been in a deep, dark place that I wondered if I could live. I'd be lying if I said in these times I felt God's presence always and that it was immediate. However, I have managed to hold on to the hope. Even if it's been a very small flicker of a flame, I've had it. It's not easy and it's battle. But I do know, without any doubt now, that God is with me. He's gone before me. He'll continue to go with me. He will stay with me. He's not going to leave me. And in these spaces, I have to hold on to that hope that God brings us and his voice. That is the still, quiet, small voice, sometimes like a whisper, yet loud and clear, telling me, I want you, I am here, I am not leaving. As I finish up, I'm mindful of those who are suffering here in our church family, our community, our country, and throughout our world, who may be really struggling to feel God's presence, his love. They are so immersed in pain and suffering, they're questioning their life, their faith. We need to journey with them. It might just simply be being. It might be listening or praying or helping in some practical way. But we all play an important part. Yes, God is in control. He protects. But he does want and he expects us to love and help one another as we all grow in our faith. We have a truly amazing God who loves us beyond what even we begin to understand, who's in total control and so desires a relationship with us for eternity that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus, to here on earth, who was then sacrificed for my and your sins so that we can have an everlasting relationship with God. He's never abandoned us, and he never will. Amen.